Proverbs chapter 14, and then we're going to turn to the 31st chapter of Proverbs and take about six verses or so from there. So if you would stand, read with us, we'd be happy to have you do that this morning. And you won't have to worry about thumbing through. You may have to wait on me just a moment to make the change from Proverbs 14 to Proverbs 31. But I would like for you to read this, just one verse here in chapter 14 we're going to read. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 1. Let's read it together. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Let's read that one more time. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 and verse number 28, I believe, is where I want to begin reading. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. And I'd like you to read that with me as well. Let's read it together. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Praise God. The Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The wise, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Verse number 31, give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Praise God. And there definitely is a vast difference in the outcome of what someone can do with their hands. You can pluck things down and tear things apart with your hands, or you can build up with your hands. Amen. Also, there's two verses I want to share with you in chapter 31. And I think it's going to be up here on the screen. Verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now think about that. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Verse number 2. Three questions in this verse. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? And it's already been said. I done some research on that. I'm gonna come back to that here a little bit later. But in what I've spoke to you about my title, and you can go ahead and put it up now if you'd like. The man and the mother. If it is that Lemuel is the poetic pen name of Solomon, and I know there's people a lot smarter than me, scholars that say they don't know, and we don't know for sure. But I do know that in the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is the author of that book as well, as he is the author of many Proverbs. Not all the Proverbs are Solomon's, but many of them are. And in Ecclesiastes, he never refers to himself as Solomon by name. In Ecclesiastes, he refers to himself as the preacher. How many remember that? And so it would appear that it's quite possible that Solomon is speaking of himself when he closes this book of Proverbs with a prophecy. Amen. It wasn't a proverb, it was a prophecy that his mother taught him. Amen. And I would think that we could derive from that this mother has something in mind, a destiny for her child. Amen. And I'd like to begin this message with a question for you. What, especially for our sisters here today, what is the prophecy for your children? What What are you expecting them to do? Which direction are you encouraging them to go? And I think if you have a prophecy for your children or over your children, and you feel like you have a revelation about their destiny and where you want them to go, and God pity us that have been allowed the privilege to be parents, if we do not have a direction in mind wherewith we want our children to go. And if I need to give an altar call right now for somebody that don't, you need to have something in mind of what you... I'm not saying you can choose everything for your children and you can tell them what kind of career they're going to have. And those things are secondary. But number one, if you will teach a child about life, hear me. If you will teach your child to live, amen. If you will teach him about life, he will be able to make a living. Amen. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen here today. That is the important thing. It's important, especially for our sons to learn a trade. It's important for our daughters growing up to learn to be keepers of the house. Amen. To learn how to manage a budget and learn how to take care of things. All of that is very biblical, but we need to have a direction for them. Amen. This woman had a prophecy. Are you hearing me? Amen. She had a destiny and she was making sure that she taught that child what the prophecy was. Amen. Amen. No wonder. And I understand touching the pilot and all those things, but Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Amen. And if you will bring him to church and you will reinforce in the Christian school and you'll reinforce at the table and on the way to church and on the way home and on the way on vacation and all the time while you're there, that number one, we are Christians. And we want you to be a Christian. And our prophecy over you is that you will be a Christian. You know what? It's going to make a difference in the way we train them up. Oh, I hope I can help somebody in here today. Hey, man, I believe it would be safe to assume the things that we teach and encourage our children and the direction we point them and the things we involve them in when they are adolescent and before they can make their own decision. I think it would be safe for us to assume that they also would assume that that is the direction that mom and dad wants me to go. They are encouraging me that way. They are pushing me that way. They are investing in me that way. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, I've loved it these last few Wednesday nights. Amen. When that beautiful young girl sat down on this piano bench, amen, and began to play those songs, and those children begin to sing, your promise is waiting in the water. Amen. Let the pastor reinforce that to you today. That is exactly what I want you to do. Amen. Sis, I want you to learn to play that piano. Amen. Children, I want you to learn to sing. I want you to learn to worship. I want you to love God's house. And if you will do that, you'll never have any trouble surviving in life. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love it when you start seeing them take hold of their prophecy and believing that God has a destiny for them. Amen. And encouraging them. I've seen people tear down. Back to my opening scripture. They worked at those things with their hands. The preacher was, amen, was preaching and prophesying one thing. Amen. And maybe other godly examples around children were trying to point them in the same direction. And at the same time, there was someone else that was influential in their life that was systematically picking away and plucking away at what God was doing in that person's life. Oh, hallelujah. What is the prophecy of the parents I'm preaching to today? What is the prophecy that you have for your children? Amen. I hear somebody say, I'm not a prophet. I'm not spiritual. You don't necessarily have to be to have a prophecy in mind for what you want your children to be. Amen. God help me to preach here today. I'd like to be able to illustrate this. And I think most of you will pick up and be able to follow me along on what I want to try to illustrate. Amen. In your mind, if you would just think of a young man
And if you've read the Bible, you've read about him. But one day you see him and he is on the run. He is getting out of town. He is on the fly, man. He's going. He's leaving mom. He's leaving dad. He's leaving a twin brother. And he is going to a place that he's unfamiliar with. And people that he don't know. Amen. If you could step up beside him and say, "Hey, buddy, where are you going? I really don't know for sure. I'm just told to go this way." Amen. Why are you running? Why are you leaving town like you are? Amen. And he would have to say, "About 44 years ago, I cooked a mess of pottage for my brother. And while he was hungry, and while he was faint, and while he thought he was going to die, I made a deal with him at that very moment that if he would hand over and surrender to me, we have the same birth date, we have the same parents, he just happened to be born a few minutes before I was, and because of the matter of those few minutes, it allowed the birthright and the power, amen, and the wealth of the birthright to flow to him, because he was born an hour or a half hour before me. And ever since we've been born, I have had a hold of his heel. They even told me when I was a baby, after I was born, that I got a hold of his heel. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he had a destiny. There was a prophecy over him. There was a will that he had to fulfill. Amen. To promote the lineage, Brother Carlton, and to preserve the godly seed. Amen. And the devil was working on him. My God, if I could preach to young people and parents that are holding these babies, if you don't have something in mind for them, I can promise you right now, the enemy of your soul and theirs has something in mind for them. And unless you are working to counteract that, amen, the flow of gravity and the pull of nature, amen, and the sinfulness that is locked up and bound in the heart of a child will automatically flow the wrong way. Unless there are some godly people in their life that will say, "I'm not letting mine go that way. I've got a prophecy over them. They've got a destiny, and I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill it." Oh, hallelujah. He's on the run. Amen. He's gone all those years. He still has the same name, Jacob. The supplanter, the deceiver, the conniver. Amen. Always scheming, always shystering somebody. All of those years, 14 long years that he's gone. Not until that day that he comes back. And there's no way I'm going to attempt to preach it all. It would take too long until he gets at that place where he first met God when he was on the run. Amen. And he calls on God, realizing that murder is hanging over his head. His brother that he swindled and connived. Amen. Come on now here. He's coming after him. Already sent messages ahead of him. I'm coming with an army of 400 men. And I'm going to execute. I'm going to kill you. I'm still upset. Amen. I'm still badly upset about what you've done to me. Now almost 60 years ago, you cheated me out of my birthright. You've got to understand, as far as Jacob was concerned, it was fair and square. But as far as Esau was concerned, it was a crooked deal that took something away from him. Amen. Come on here now. All of those times, even if we went back to the day that Jacob has to leave and run, he goes out and takes a kid after Isaac sends Esau out to go deer hunting and to bring back some savory meat. Amen. Isaac's an old man. He's dirty, went blind. Amen. And he is determined. He also has a destiny in mind for his firstborn Esau. Amen. But mama has a destiny in mind. Amen. For the secondborn Jacob. My God, I need to help somebody in here. You're going to destroy your family if mom's pulling one way and dad's pulling another way and the preacher's pulling another way and the school they're going to is pulling another way. Let me help somebody here this morning. You are going to bring about very much dysfunction in your family unless you realize realize what is God's prophecy and destiny for my child. I mean, I'm not going to get into all the theology. I understand that it had to be Jacob, and Jacob was the one that God chose. I understand all that. Amen. I want to tell you what, I don't think Isaac and Rebekah understood everything that was going on in their home. Amen. She would have been willing to let God do it His way. Oh, I'd love to help somebody here this morning. Amen. Without me spending any more time on him, y'all got the picture? Shyster, schemer. I mean, he knows how to put legs on his prayers and make it work out the way he wants it to work out. Isaac sends the older brother out to go hunting. He's a man of the field. He's already started down a road that's not good. He's going against the commandments of God. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach. Amen. Listen, mamas. I've seen little boys get too close to their mama. Amen. Where do you think, and there's nothing wrong with boys knowing how to cook. You hear me? But Jacob was a boy that spent a lot of time with mama. How do you think he knew how to make that red pottage that he would entice his brother with? Huh? He was a plain man. I don't know. Maybe he was a little sissy boy. Somebody help the preacher preach now. Amen. Come on now. You know what? If you're doing those things to your children, you are systematically, like Rebekah was, plucking away at the divine call in their life. Amen. With your hands. Amen. Esau's gone. He's gone a little long. Rebekah realizes that Isaac's fixing to bless him. And she tells him, you go quickly to the field. Amen. Come on now. I've already spilt it, haven't I? Amen. Y'all got the picture? Jacob is the man. Rebekah is the mother. Amen. All of those tricks he learned from somebody. Amen. I wish somebody would help me preach now. For it was mama that said, you go quickly into the field and you take a kid out of the flock and you bring it in here and you dress it and you take the wool and you take the skin off of that. You know that your dad knows your brother's a hairy man. He's a man of the field. He's a macho man. And your dad leans to him. He likes the way he does things. Come on now, help the preacher preach now. Amen. And so he deceives his father that's blind. Amen. That poor old man with the five senses of sight and hearing and smell and taste and touch. Every one of those senses he has. Really the only one that he should have paid attention to was the hearing. And he went past that. And the other remaining senses he had, all of them said that it's Esau. Amen. My God, I need to help somebody in here this morning. It's Esau, and he deceived him. Amen. But it wasn't in his own power. Amen. It was mama that told him to put that stuff on his hands and stick them out there and let your blind father feel of it. And he'll think it's Esau. It was mom that said, you go to the closet and get out one of his hunting coats and put it on. And he'll smell of you and say, it's the smell of the field. Amen. I'm going to fix some savory meat and you're going to take it to him. And this kid goat is going to taste so much like a deer that he won't know the difference. Amen. Come on, help me preach here. All of that he got from his mama. That's where he learned it. Amen. But in chapter 27, the day that he has to go, she finally realizes, I have tore this apart. I have plucked this down with my hands. I have brought disunity in my family. And she's weeping and crying. Amen. And saying, run, son. Leave and don't come back until I tell you to come back. That is her baby. That is her favored one. And she's telling him he has to go and not come back. And she's the one. Amen. I guess I shouldn't expect to get too many amens. It's kind of tough, isn't it? She's the one that plucked it down with her hands. Amen. Listen, mamas. You, more than any other member of your family, can set the tone for how things run in the house. Let me say that again. You, more than anyone else,
can set the tone for what goes on in your house. If there's peace, probably because you've made it peaceful. If there's angst and anxiety and hatred and backbiting and trouble, not in every case. I know not in every case. I'm just telling you, you have a very important role to play. Rebecca, with her hands, brought in disunity in her family. And that very day, in one day, she was depraved, she said, of both her sons. One is running in exile. One is threatening murder to the other. I'm telling you, we read these little stories and we don't get all the stuff out of it. I'm telling you, there was trouble in paradise. There was trouble in the house. Isaac's determined to bless Esau. Mama's determined that he won't get it. Amen. And she plucks it down with her hands. Rebecca, when you was doing that, when you was pulling against Dad, when you was working against Dad, when you wouldn't support him with his authority and help him take a stand with that child, did you realize it was going to be 14 years? Church, y'all really need to pray for me now, because I know when I am and I know when I ain't. And I feel like I ain't really doing so good right now. Amen. But what she done that day was at least 14 years before she would ever lay eyes on her baby again. I want to say, Rebecca, was it worth it? Amen. Was it worth it for you to pluck away at your house? Man, God help us. Amen. All right, let me preach now. There's a man that the Word of God says. Did y'all get that? The man and the mother. There's a man, the Word of God says. There's not another prophet like him. Not one word of his would ever fall to the ground. Oh, hallelujah. He was left as a small child in the house of God. It sounds good, don't it? In the house of God. Not in this house of God. Amen. Trouble had happened in the church house. Man, I need to preach. Church, would y'all at least look at me? Would you at least look at me? I'm telling you, when church trouble springs up, it causes problems in every aspect of your life. I'm telling you, enough times, if there's trouble in the church house, it's because there's trouble in our houses. Come on now. Amen. The reason it spills over to the church house is because there's anxiety in our houses. Come on, help me preach. Amen. We have got to keep the house safe. Amen. Eli was backslid. His sons were backslid. Amen. The nation was in a terrible place. Amen. It had rippled out throughout the nation till the good folks didn't even want to come to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was to offer sacrifice, because they knew when they got there, they were going to have to deal with those sons of Belial that were devil possessed, that was going to steal from them and rob from them. Amen. But it is right in the midst of that, that a small child laying on his bed hears the voice of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God raised him up. Amen. When Israel had no king, amen, and the ark had been captured by the Philistines, and they didn't know what they were going to do, and they didn't have a standing army. It's this man that I'm preaching to you about that went out and offered the lamb and prayed for the people while the Philistines were setting the battle in array, and God let a storm come on them and turned them all around. And that man Samuel said, right here between these two towns, he sets up a stone and said, the name of this stone is Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. That is Samuel. That is the man. That is the man that not one prophecy of his ever fell to the ground. Amen. But the woman is. The mother is the one that almost got herself kicked out of the temple because she prayed in her heart. Amen. Only in her heart. Her lips moved, but no sound come out. But you know what that was? That was the faith in her heart that prophesied a prophecy over her child and held on to a
hostile place and trusted God. Amen. Oh, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, listen to this preacher. I'm telling you, you can make a difference in the destiny of your children if you know what the prophecy is over them. Amen. You've lent him to me. I'm lending him back to you. That's the man. That's the mother. All she's got's a prayer. She don't really trust Eli. How could she trust a man, even though he says he's a priest of God, when she was praying for her gift that she has now? And he don't have enough spiritual discernment to know that she's calling on God. He tries to throw her out of the church house because he thinks she's drunk. How many of us would be willing to do that? But because she had faith in her God and she trusted her prayer. I can't trust Eli. I sure can't trust his sons. But God, I trust you. Amen. Oh, somebody ought to be making a connection. We are living in a hostile world. We are living in an anti-God America. We are living in a post-Christian nation. Amen. Not because I want it to be so, but because others that are more powerful than I have declared it to be. But I tell you what we better do. We better rise up from this little church in Creek County, Oklahoma, and say, I got a resource. I've got children. I've got babies. And I can do one or two things. I can lay down and take it, or I can call on God and believe Him to turn it around. But if you don't believe in the destiny or the prophecy of yours, you'll throw them to chance. You'll throw them to the public school. I'm telling you, I'm not against public education if you can't do any better. And matter of fact, I couldn't read or write if it hadn't been for that. So I'm not anti. But I'll tell you what, when you can do better, I mean, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to give an account to God. Because you didn't do better when you could do better. Amen. And if you could do better and didn't do better, that's one thing you need to repent about and get right with God. Amen. Because I'm telling you, I've read too much of this stuff. And I've been there myself. And I know in 30 plus years, it hadn't got any better. Amen. Is a Christian school the end all, fix all, take care of all? No. No, 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 no. I tell a lot of people, everybody that goes to a Christian school is not a Christian. But I tell you what, the reason I'm preaching to you like I am, to you young ones, it is not the government's responsibility to educate your children. God never put that on the responsibility of the government. God did ordain powers. He told us to obey the laws of the land. Amen. But the responsibility for educating your children is yours. Praise God. Preacher, why are you preaching that way? Because I love you. Because I know this nation's going in a wrong direction. Can you put verses 1 and 2 back up? I want to touch on this and I'm going to be bringing this to a close. Brother Carlton, until you expounded what you did this morning, I've never heard anybody speak on Lemuel from the pulpit. That's the first time. Amen. Don't you love God? Amen. Don't you love the church? Man, Brother Carson, I love to hear you teach. And we were friends when we were very young. We had some pretty long, lengthy conversations sometimes, didn't we? Laying on those cots on the floor in those camp meetings with the lights out. Me and you and O'Neill and Gary. A lot of times. And I mean, anybody that come up under Autry Davis and loved the Word like those boys did, it just come out. And I still I heard Brother Autry today while you were speaking. I did, sure did. Praise God. So you might know that when the preacher thinks he's going to get something new, that somebody smarter than him is going to get. Amen. No, I love you, brother. I admire you very greatly. But I'm just saying, I'd done some research because when I was reading, I wasn't going to preach from Proverbs 31. I just wanted to get that
few verses out there about the hands of the woman. And I went back and read verse 1 and 2. I thought, huh. What about anybody else? Anybody know about Lemuel till you learn what you did this morning? Praise God. I've already mentioned to you, Solomon never mentioned himself by name. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which he wrote, he referred to himself as the preacher, almost like John did about the disciple whom Jesus loved. So some think, people smarter than me think, that possibly Lemuel was Solomon's poetic name or pen name. Amen. Just let me preach to you for a little bit. I had no idea. Because, you know, ever since Thursday or Friday, I've just been thinking about Samuel and Jacob. When I read this, God says, something here, something here, something here. Amen. So I started looking at it. If it is, and I can't not prove, and people smarter than me can't prove that it is, but I will tell you why I think it is. Are y'all? Okay, some of you are looking down again now. Are we still having a good time? Preacher, I wish you'd preach. I wish you'd sweat and kick and buck and shout and run. You're just kind of getting, okay, whatever. Amen. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 1, the words of Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught his mother. I've run that all the way through my message. His mother taught him a prophecy. A prophecy. How? If it is Solomon and if it is Bathsheba, she had something tangible. She had a prophecy. Why did she need a prophecy? I'll tell you why. Solomon had a whole bunch of half-brothers that was older than him. Come on, somebody help me preach. Now, soap, what big deal? What? Because any one of them could have inherited the throne. But Bathsheba had a promise from David. Solomon will sit on my throne. And she knew. Oh, man. I tell you, if some of y'all get a hold of this, if we have some young moms get a hold of this, we'll spend some time in the altar today. She had something tangible. David had told her that her son was going to be the king. I'm the more I preach, the more convinced I am that Lemuel has to be Solomon. Verse number 2, she says, she asked the question. She looks at that baby. What? My son? What? The son of my womb? Look at that third question. And what? The son of my vows. Solomon is David and Bathsheba's second son. Their first son was born outside wedlock. This son is the son of my vows. David took Bathsheba and married her. And God forgave his sin and accepted the marriage. Amen. And then you'll read on down, Brother Carlton already touched on it. Jedidiah is the only time in the Bible that word's mentioned. But that is the one that God loved. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could preach right now. Maybe I should have left all that other out because I see y'all coming on in here now. Praise God. Help me to do this right, Lord. I'm here this morning to preach to every mother that's sitting in this house that has a child that's wayward or backslid right now. If you know what God said about your children, and if you've got a prophecy over them. Come on, church, pull with me just a little bit, would you please? I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a prophecy, get a hold of it and hold on to it. Amen. No wonder by the time we get down to verse number 10, she teaches him the prophecy and she says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. I tell you what she's doing when she's saying that. Her heart is aching because she knows even in herself, I have not been a virtuous woman every moment that I've lived. And she realizes the price and the value of a virtuous woman.
I wish I could help somebody in here this morning. Amen. She understands it. How do you know? If you would read the rest of those verses down to verse number 10. She is teaching her son. Amen. Her beloved son. Her son Solomon. She said, kings don't drink wine. Kings don't chase wild women. Kings don't do. Go back. I challenge you to read it before the, amen, before the service tonight. She was able to tell him that because she knew that he was going to be a king. Amen. Oh, I'm feeling God in here. You have a different idea about 7:30 on Wednesday night. If you see those little kids in your house, that they are kings and they are queens and they are princes. Amen. If you'll see them that way, I tell you what you'll do. You will be just like Bathsheba. You will teach them the prophecy. You will tell them every day who they are. You're a king. You're a king. Don't ever forget it. You're a king. Kings don't drink wine. Amen. Kings don't go after strange women. Amen. Kings do what kings are supposed to do. Amen. While somebody gets me a song, I'm bringing this to a close. Amen. If you want to put the title back up, it'll be fine. Solomon was the man. Bathsheba was the mother. And thank God, if you will read those first few chapters, you will find when Solomon assumed the kingship, he was timid. He was weak. He wasn't even fully understanding of what he was supposed to do. Amen. But that day, are you hearing me preach now? That day, amen, that David is laying on his deathbed. Somebody hear me preach right now. He's got hard chills all over his body. He's sickened to death. He's been bedridden for days now. Amen. And somebody brings word to Bathsheba. Matter of fact, it was Nathan the prophet, man. Oh God, I wish I could preach right now. Nathan is the one that called out David's sin. Nathan is the one that looked him eyeball to eyeball and said, you're the man. You're the murderer. You're the one that took that little ewe lamb. Amen. And it was also Nathan that stood with Bathsheba while she held on to her promise. And it was also Nathan that come to Bathsheba and said, did not David say that your son Solomon would be the king that was set on your throne? And she said, oh yes, he did. Amen. They had talked about it. That's how she could prophesy over him. That's how she could prophesy. Amen. With the truth she knew. They had talked about it, Sister Betty Jo. Hallelujah. Amen. God help me here. I need to preach some more. What's God telling you about your children? What's God showing you about your babies? What's God telling you about those little ones you're rocking? I beg you, church, pull your minds on in here, please. Amen. I want to talk to these moms here today. If you don't see them like God sees them, I promise you the devil has his eye on them to steal, kill, and destroy. You got to start seeing them for who they really are. And Bathsheba knew it was a king. Amen. Praise God. And so when word comes to Nathan that Adonijah, that's one of those older half-brothers, has lifted up himself in Hebron and made himself king. And a lot of the nation went off after him. And they come back singing, God save King Adonijah. Before they could get back to town. Amen. Come on, church. Before they could start a civil war. Before there would be much bloodshed and the church disrupted and the family tore up. Amen. Bathsheba slips into the bedchamber where David is bedridden on his deathbed with hard chills. And she said, my Lord, O King, did not you say that my son Solomon would sit on your throne? And he said, yes, I did. And she tells him, your other son is proclaiming himself to be king. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God, I wish I could preach right now. You know what happened to David? The Spirit of God come on him. He got up off of that bed that he had been in for days. And he said, you get my mule and you put Solomon on him. And you lead him down the streets before anybody gets here and say, God save the king. God save the king Solomon. Amen. And by the time Adonijah got back to town, Solomon was entrenched. Firmly, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. I said, if you got loved ones that's lost, what you need to do is go back to your king and say, oh king, you give me this child, and you said he's going to be a king. You said he's going to do something. Amen. The devil's sidetracking the plans. They got their minds on something else right now. They're looking at something else right now. Somebody else is going to be king in their life. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I wish I would have done better. Come on, y'all stand. Oh, hallelujah. Please, please, please get a grasp on it. I've battled the devil while I preached. I've battled a lot of other things. I know you've had your mind on a lot of other things, but I want to tell you what. It's been a long time since I've been so excited about preaching a sermon. And I want you to get excited about those babies you're holding. Please, please remember who they are. If you're a mom here and you have children that's lost, remember in prayer, in your prayer room. Amen. Okay. What God promised you about your children. And if you're nursing a king, if you're rocking a king, you ought to bring him or a princess or whatever. Look, here's a little princess here. Could be a little king over here. Could be a little princess here. I'm telling you. Church, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Do y'all remember what I read to you before I even preached this morning? Those half-breed Indians out here trying to start a big ranch not too far from here didn't know that little baby born on the frontier was going to be Will Rogers. Y'all, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to preach 2 or 3 more minutes, but right now you're going to pray for me. And you're going to pray that the Lord, the Spirit of God, bind these spirits. They're trying to work in this place today while I'm trying to preach. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I've preached my best. I preach what you give me. I preach what you show me and reveal to me. And God, I'm expecting some results here today. I battled today keeping people's attention. I know I have. And I know, Lord, I know, I understand. There's all things we're all wanting to do. But God, please, for a few moments, would you help somebody to remember a promise? Oh, God, if there's someone here holding a little one and they don't know what the promise is yet, then let them come to the altar and you show them. You reveal the prophecy to them. Amen. Woo! But if God's given you a prophecy over your children, you need to do like Bathsheba did. You need to go back to your king this morning. And say, oh king, did not you say? Did not you say if I would raise them in church? If I would do my best to educate them and train them right and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they would never depart. Come on now, come on, come on. Holy, 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 holy. Praise God. Go ahead and play, sister. Sing when you're ready. The altars are open. Come on, let's seek God right now, would you? Somebody take a step here. Let's believe the Lord here today. Trust in Him with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Sing it.